Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third down and goal to go at the 3-yard line. Pacheco motioning left. Mahomes in the pocket. Darts it near side. Caught. Touchdown! Kansas City. Hollywood Brown is having a night. And the Chiefs answer a touchdown with a touchdown to go up 26-17. 9:30 to go in the game. Unbalanced left. Caliendo in the line of scrimmage. Pacheco the running back. First down and goal to go. Sprint out action. Mahomes keeps it. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Keeping the ball on the option. Mahomes with the rushing touchdown. And he scores at 37 seconds to go in the first half. Now the Chiefs go to that L shape in the backfield. Play action fake. There's a throw caught by Kelce. And he dives to the 1-yard line. Against Yasin. He thought about hurdling him, yeah. But he hit the hurdle, and it was Yasin. It's a gain of 17, and the Chiefs have goal to go at the 1-yard. Fourth and three at the 6. Mahomes in the shotgun on fourth down. Throws a wheel out right side. It's caught. Touchdown at the far front pylon. Xavier Worthy scrapes outside. It is touchdown pass number 300 for Patrick Mahomes, counting the playoffs.
Reverse order there, how it ended to how it started. Number 300, the first pass of the touch or the first touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes there at Xavier Worthy. Chiefs victorious as another green W goes on the whiteboard. They beat Detroit in week 6, 30-17. Chiefs now 3-3, back to 500. Big win last night. Boy, were your stars.
That's what you have to have, right? All season long, the stars have not been stars, right, guys? Harry Butker, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, even Patrick Mahomes with the pick six, right? Say what you want. Still a pick six, even though I still think Lloyd made a hell of a play on that. It's one of the best plays I've seen in a long time on defense. But even still, he made that mistake. But last night, our stars were stars. Travis Kelce was the leader in reception yards, and he was dancing. He was feeling good. Chris Jones was just huge. As bad as he was Monday night, he was good Sunday night. Charles Omenihu with a big sack, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, Patrick Mahomes, the running backs. Like, tell me somebody who didn't do something last night other than Butker. I mean, that was an entire team win where everybody elevated, everybody raised their level, and everybody played desperate and did what they had to do to beat an exceptional football team last night. That was an ass-kicking of an exceptional football team. Don't tell me that they were injured on defense, okay? Whoever's going to peddle that bull crap today, I don't want to hear about their defense. What the Chiefs did yesterday from their defense, they held that team to 17 points. An offense that was putting up guys, what, 30 a game? Right? Mm-hmm. 30 a game, yep. They were putting up. And the Kansas City Chiefs held them to 17 total points. 14 of those coming after that first drive. And that was it. They allowed him to score 2 touchdowns in that game yesterday. That's what you're really hanging your hat on. That Chiefs defense that was much maligned for the Jacksonville game went out there and held the best offense arguably in the NFL to 2 touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah, that offense is second in the NFL with 31.8 points per game.
Who's leading the league?
I would think Dallas.
Buffalo? Oh, Dallas probably is.
I think Dallas is probably up there when it comes to points in the league. I'll double check that. I mean, I would assume they have the worst offense, the best offense and the worst defense. That never goes well.
No, that's a... Jerry Jones didn't speak to the media yesterday.
For once.
I mean,
Dallas is fourth.
fourth. So who the hell's number one? It's got to be Buffalo.
Colts. Duh.
Oh, duh. That's right.
Colts,
Indiana
right?
Jones. Yeah.
Let's look. Team stats. Offense first. 32.3. So just right ahead of the
Colts.
Yep. That's right.
Okay.
They're on the Chiefs schedule a little bit later on in the season.
But I don't think anybody looks at them and goes, ooh. You know, you look at the Lions and everybody goes, oh, that's a hell of an offense, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to build something here because for later on in the weeks to come, because I don't know what or how many rematches we see on this Chiefs schedule if things go well. Obviously, you'll have the regular season matchup of the Chargers later on. But, I mean, I can see both these teams getting it. I mean, the Chiefs are going to get Rashee Rice back this week. That's the big story today. Again, no information yet on Josh Simmons.
Only thing I got out of Simmons yesterday was that they don't think it's going to be a long-term thing, but they're really not sure. I heard from somebody yesterday, and Mac, and this is something maybe you can check out. I heard Simmons may have wiped his Instagram too, cleaned his Instagram off, you know, yesterday and whatnot. But the people that I've spoken to are like, yeah, we don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. We expect him back sooner rather than later again. That's the optimistic view. We really didn't miss him last night, which is a scary thing. I mean, he's playing great, and Jalen Moore was so good.
And that's I'm glad that you brought that up because we talk about stars being stars. Jalen Moore was a star last night. And I think last night's defensive line is going to look very similar to the defensive line that you are going to play this week against the Raiders, right? Outstanding DNs and Aiden Hutchinson and Max Crosby both know how to get after the quarterback. And you have that game last night against a stellar defensive line. You know, there's Campbell, there's Aiden Hutchinson. You got the Raiders coming to town at noon this week. You got Max Crosby, who always loves to get Mahomes' face. And that's kind of like a preamp up to like, okay, if we have to go with these five guys again, obviously, you know, everybody that's going to play when it comes to Kingsley, to Creed, to Trey, and to Juwan Taylor. But if you saw that out of Jalen Moore last night, that gives you that much more confidence to be like, hey, Josh, whatever it may be, if you need another week or you need right. 2 weeks, dude, get right. You know, you've been here ever since. You played sick. You played hurt. You've done all this stuff. If you need time to get right, and it whatever it may be, it's none of our business, get right. We're going to use Jalen Moore right now because we paid him $30 million for 2 years to do exactly this.
Mm-hmm. My kid last night said to me when they put that graphic up, she goes, that guy's making $30 million?
Damn
like,
right.
Yeah, it was like a sticker
earned
every
shot,
penny
right? last night.
Earned every damn penny of it last night, right? Like, credit Brett Veach, where, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he drafted this guy in the seventh round. Breland Speaks! How about going out and having a backup offensive tackle ready to roll? And that's the sunk cost thing, too. They signed Jalen Moore right when free agency started, guys. They invested that $30 million into him. Right. And they still went ahead and drafted Josh Simmons, who Jay Binkley, I don't think he liked that pick the day it happened, if I'm not mistaken. But they didn't care that they invested
that
money.
He liked Noah Williams. Yeah, I like Noah Williams.
He did. No, he'll tell you that one.
There's always a cover up.
There is. There's always a cover, Jay. Pizza cutters. So they still went out and drafted a guy number one overall, even with that $30 million invested into a backup, right? That's why I'm looking at the kicking position. I'm saying, you've already done this. You've kind of got the MO for, yeah, we invested this money, but we're still trying to get better. And I think the Chiefs still have an opportunity to get better on the kicking side if they want and bring in guys, you know, and kind of audition them. But Jalen Moore was just absolutely stunningly awesome last night. Just fantastic. He got into Aiden Hutchinson's head so bad that Aiden Hutchinson commits the biggest penalty of the game at the end, knocking Patrick Mahomes down, where Mahomes looks at him and goes, what the F are you doing, pal?
Yeah, that was weird to me because, like, Aiden isn't that guy. At least I didn't think he was. And it was just one of those, like, it wasn't an accidental run-into. Or I don't know. Maybe there was a little bit of percentage of flop there from Mahomes. But it still seemed like it was like play was dead. And he did like the, I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
No, it was a cheap shot. It was frustration. We saw the Lions melt down last night on defense. And I do give Jalen Moore a lot of credit for that, for getting into the head of Aiden Hutchinson to the fact where he commits this personal foul towards the end of the game that essentially sealed the game for the Chiefs, right? That sealed the game. And that's Jalen Moore doing such a good job on that guy that he got to him. And I was thinking about Max Crosby coming in next week. We don't like Max Crosby, but we do because he respects the game. And you don't see that kind of stuff out of Max Crosby. Like, him and Patrick Mahomes have a great relationship with each other. They respect each other. I don't think Patrick Mahomes respects Aiden Hutchinson after that play.
Could have thought he still had the ball, too. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought. Maybe.
The overhead replay that they showed last night on NBC.
Was dead for about 2 seconds.
Yeah. Like, it felt forever, didn't it?
I mean, I counted. Yeah, I was like, one. Because, like, In that moment, you know, I'm giving Aiden Hutchinson all the respect in the world because never really been on the radar, super quiet guy, leads by example, big defensive unit. And then all of a sudden I'm watching, I'm like, damn. Because, like, you didn't see the play.
Right.
You just saw Mahomes fly out of the side of your TV screen if you were at home.
Right.
Obviously, you've got the whole peripheral. And then all of a
sudden, right about that. There he goes out of the screen.
Because I saw Mahomes fly out of the screen going, what the hell? And then they throw the flag. Both guys, I mean, immediately throw the flag.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that was an immediate reaction. They show it back. And it's like, let's watch that again. And then all of a sudden you hear Connor, yeah, well, you know, can't really do that on that play, man, especially with Mahomes, man. And look at how he takes that hit. But no, I watched that. I'm just like watching him like one, two, oh
yeah, my.
Maybe if it was, you know, like that. But I mean, it was right after.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then Mahomes looks at him like, dude, what the was that, dude? Like, and that's why I think, like, we give the benefit of the doubt to Aiden Hutchinson, because even, like, Mahomes is like, you know, he didn't be like, yeah, you woke up the wrong MF, or like he does to Max Crosby. It was more so just like, dude, what? Like, that's not you. Like, oh, this right arm is doing that to you. Got it.
Yeah, they really got under the skin of the Lions last night. And again, that goes back, though, to coaching.
And there was a little Hollywood in it, but hey, sell it.
But sell it. But also, too, with the Lions, you always seemingly play with the personality of your head coach, right? You see the Chiefs all the time. They're just calm in those situations. Look at their head coach. How calm is that, dude? You look across the way, right? Dan Campbell's not a calm individual at all, right? He's an emotional guy. That's the way his team plays. They take on the personality of their head coach. And so Branch being a jackass at the end, Aiden Hutchinson being a jackass at the end, that was the frustration boiling over and them embodying that persona of their coach, which is a great trait to have when you're winning. But when you're out there getting beat, you can't go out there and you can't cheap shot. You could hurt somebody that
way. The other thing I thought was interesting, and I know that maybe we could put the narrative that Harrison Butker can't be fully trusted, so that's why we saw more fourth downs. But you know how you always say, you can't beat Patrick Mahomes with field goals.
He can't.
Right? Yeah. I think that's exactly what Andy Reid did against Dan Campbell last night. He knew going into that game, Dan Campbell don't punt.
Right.
He's like, Dan Campbell's not going to punt the ball, so neither am I. So I think that offensive mindset, I think that's maybe the secret code that Andy needed, was to kind of have that sort of feeling and that know-it-all to know the guy across the field is not going to go for it or not going to punt on fourth down unless it's an egregious situation from your own 25 and it's fourth and nine.
Right.
You're not going for it. I'm talking about situations of fourth and three, fourth and two. You heard the touchdown to Worthy, fourth and six,
yeah,
and it's a touchdown. And that's that aggressiveness. That's that foot on the pedal that Andy Reid's going to do. And I wish that from now on, every coach that Andy Reid sees on the other sideline, you just see a mirror image of Dan Campbell. You're like, he's going to go for it. It's like, well, that's Pete Carroll. You're like, I don't care. It's
Doesn't
Dan
matter.
Campbell today. Keep that sort of offensive mind, because they were terrible on third down. I think I saw a graphic at one point. They were 1 of 5 on third down conversion rates, and their average distance was 9 yards.
It was 1 of 8 or one of 9.
1 of 9. I think it was, and it was average start fourth or third and 9.
I thought that was like a misprinted first, you know?
So I thought when you look at that and that Dan Campbell sort of thing where you're like, hey, I can't kick field goals to beat Patrick Mahomes. Hey, I can't punt on third down or kick field goals on third and short. I'm going to have to go for it on fourth down. And I thought that was a really big, noticeable change in Andy Reid's offensive play callers. Plus, you've got the guys to do it.
And you get the ability to do so much more on third down if you know that you're going to be going for it on fourth down, too. You can set yourself up and play that situational football. So I thought what we saw and what we had out of that offense last night was great. They took advantage of every single mistake that was made by Detroit. They had Detroit thinking constantly. They were one step ahead. They were fast. They were efficient. They got rid of the ball. The short passing game was just a glorious display of offense for me last night. I loved it, man. And that's the type of offense I want to see going forward. And now it'll get better because Rashee Rice is back. I'm sure he's already in the building this morning.
I don't know why he wouldn't be. I mean, he's got to be eager to be champion at the pit.
Oh, hell yeah.
I guess, according to the text line, Aiden Hutchinson is a dirty player. Hip drop tackles all the time. Spins when he tackles and puts QB's knees at risk all the time. Hate that dude from the 816. So I guess I've got to look more often, but let's get to our sideline guy, Josh Klingler.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klingler.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klingler with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Watson,
Did you see the list of, like, Mahomes now at 300 touchdowns? Who's caught the most touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes? Jalen Watson's a top 10. He may be top 8, I think, in touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Watson, or not Jalen Watson, Justin. Justin Watson.
Yeah.
Is top 10 all time in touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't care what sideline reporters are. We have number one out of top 10, Josh Klingler, who joins us now. Kling, I was kind of talking before you got on the show about how I think maybe Dan Campbell's presence made Andy Reid's nuts hang last night. What say you?
I like how you phrase that. No, it definitely does. I mean, you're playing that team. You have a little bit of a different mindset. You know they're going for every fourth down. You know the numbers. They were the number one offense in scoring going into this game. You had to not only put a premium on every single possession, but realize you were probably going to have to be aggressive, knowing that they were going to be aggressive the entire time as well. So I still think the Chiefs will be a more pick-your-spots kind of team than some others will. I think you witnessed that last night by not chasing the 2-point conversion after you missed the first extra point, right? I think they're going to be a little more judicious about it than some other teams. I think Dan Campbell, we're going fourth down every time. He's had a much better percentage than that dude with the Chargers that got fired did.
Oh yeah, that guy
that we used to lament all the time that always went for fourth downs as well. I think they benefited a little bit by being very good at their fourth down conversions in Detroit, but they're always going to go for it. I think it amped up everything the Chiefs were doing defensively as well, because you know you have to play four downs defensively. So I think it got everybody's attention. Playing a team like that, I think, does drive up everything.
It does. I mean, the opponent does matter. Jacksonville, we saw, they kind of took lightly, had 13 penalties, played sloppy, and got their butts kicked. They came home, played a clean game last night, and destroyed the Detroit Lions. And I want to kind of start, though, Josh, at the beginning of the game, the Simmons stuff. Jalen Moore was outstanding in place of Josh Simmons. What were you guys hearing last night about that?
Not a lot, other than, you know, something went down and he, you know, he left before, and I really haven't followed it this morning. I got to be honest, guys, if there's anything that's been updated, I don't know.
No.
But just kind of asking around, it was kind of like, well, there's a situation going on. They don't expect it to be anything long, but, you know, Jalen Moore kind of got the call Sunday morning, amidst he and his wife having a baby, apparently. Yeah. and then he played great. And then, you know, I don't think you ever catch a break going in and playing tackle in this league, because you're always going to be facing a premium defensive end, it seems like, for some team. But, man, I thought he was just really solid. And the offensive line was great, too, and I think that they kind of rallied around him a little bit. But, I mean, Hutchinson was lined up against him quite a lot last night, and you didn't hear a lot of Aiden Hutchinson except for a roughing the passer penalty. He did a really, really good job, and that's what you want to have happen, right? You want to offensive lineman you don't even notice. I mean, I noticed him because I was watching him just to see how he was doing, but he was great.
Kling, I want to bring this up because I saw some videos last night, and I know you're on that sideline. Butker, after missing the extra point, goes over there and kind of goes through the motions, but maybe a little bit more tedious. I don't know what you noticed on the sideline from him. Are you seeing that he's maybe trying too hard to get out of his head and just needs to relax more, or is everything going to be fine?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels like it's just upstairs at this point in time, because, yeah, it's just such a draining thing, too, right, to have to watch all those, to go through the pressure of that. And then I saw him, guys, at halftime, and I don't know if he was adjusting some things, too, but even at halftime he came out, and I saw him miss one wide left, and then I saw him doink one off the right upright, and I'm like, okay, one was left, one was right. I don't know if he's just over-adjusting things. He's one of the hardest workers during a game of anybody. He's always, you know, pacing off his steps. He's always taking extra kicks. He's doing a lot of things a lot of other kickers do not. So it's not like, you know, it's a lack of trying, but I just got to feel like right now it's a lot going on upstairs. But can't keep having these happen, especially in these tight margin games. Now, last night didn't end up being a tight margin, but obviously, I don't know about you guys, we kept kind of looking up and going, okay, is this 1 point going to matter? You know, yeah. Maybe it very well could have, right? Had they put together one more touchdown drive, everybody would have been kind of nervous having that, you know, that missing point. But yeah, can't have those things happen, but he's going to have a long leash. He's well paid. He's highly compensated. He's been through this before. They're going to let him kind of work his way out of it, but you just can't keep having these misses. I want back to Mr. Automatic soon.
Yeah, I want it back now. Like, you know, I'm done with Butker, so I've written him off.
Not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, Clint. Deja vu. Yeah. Yeah.
But don't I have a right to at this point in time? Because he's not special anymore. Like, everybody in the league's kicking 50 and 60-yard field goals now.
Yeah, and I think the contract, though, does factor in, you know what I mean? If he was just a regular paid kicker, I think you would be, you know, auditioning people, and you would treat them like some of the other teams where you just, okay, thanks for your service. We'll swap you out and get another guy. I don't think they're going to do that here. So I think you better be prepared probably for the longer leash, but you know, I hope that he gets straightened out. And I think he will. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's an injury. It doesn't seem like there's anything mechanical. It just seems like that this is just a crisis of confidence right now, and hopefully that can be resolved quick.
Josh, one of the storylines from the game for me anyway is Patrick Mahomes at the end after he tries to high-five Branch, the whole thing breaks out the way that it did. He was pissed after the game in this post-game interview on TV. I don't know if you saw that. And then walking off the field, he was pissed. I talked to somebody this morning and said you should have seen him in the locker room if you thought he was pissed on the field. I feel like they just woke a sleeping giant at the end of that game.
Yeah, maybe so. And I mean, I was pretty close to, well, I was behind Juju Smith-Schuster when he got knocked down. I thought, oh, this is going to be bad.
Did you get in
Luckily,
there?
Luckily, he did pull out. Yeah, I took a cheap shot at the Lions.
You should have seen the other guy.
sideline guy, you know, just to throw in, like, you know, a anchorman at the end.
Hey, you did more than Winchester.
But so I thought this could be really bad, and obviously they did pull most people out of there, but you know, Juju had a bloody nose and came out of it, and then I got in the locker room and kind of heard, you know, the muttering of not Mahomes as much, but kind of the wide receivers talking about it, and you know, Juju was at that point in time, you know, kind of like, son, like, did that just really happen? Like, yeah. I can't believe that went down for what went down. So, you know, I guess it could boil if they were to meet again type of thing, but it was just kind of a weird situation. Like, dude didn't want to shake his hand, and then obviously the video surfaced later that he felt like he was cheap-shotted by Smith-Schuster earlier in the game. Well, that's not how you handle that either, right? I mean, if you think you may have been illegally blocked or whatever, I think you probably have every right to say something, but there wasn't even a chance to say anything. He just went up and cold cocked him. Yeah. So it was just a weird deal, and I got to imagine there's going to – I would think there would be a suspension loom for Branch. That's pretty out of line.
No
he
doubt.
Just went up and cold cocked him. I mean, that's then he claimed he was bullied after the game.
Well, if he'd have brought that energy during the game, maybe we have a different outcome. Kling, I want to ask you one more as we back up to a break. Rashee Rice back in the building this week. He'll be back in that offense. And one thing that you love to watch is this team spread the ball around. Does that have a negative to the way the ball's being spread around because you add a guy in that's going to get a lot of attention and should from Patrick Mahomes?
I'm kind of curious how it goes down in game one because you got to feel like they're going to force feed him the ball a little bit, right?
Right.
To get him back in quick. But I do think this offense really churns when everybody's getting a piece and Patrick Mahomes is playing the ultimate point guard. And it also keeps defenses off balance. I mean, who are you going to guard? Like we didn't even see Tyquan Thornton last night, right? I mean, he was like the extra man, and we've seen him have some big plays down the field. I don't think Xavier Worthy is 100% healthy right now and still kind of battling that ankle situation. Yet you have Hollywood Brown step up. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that got to get the football. But I think in game number one, I think he's going to have the opportunity to get some touches kind of right away to get him back in the flow. But it really does, you know, open up the playbook even further. And, you know, just being around this group, it doesn't feel like an ego-centric group. They know that they're going to get the ball on a different day, maybe if they keep themselves in the right spot and get themselves open. So no, I think this is going to be an ultimate positive, and it may even open up some other people for even more things because Rice should get a lot of attention. I would think even by missing games, by being available right out of the chute, he's going to draw some defensive attention.
I just don't see him losing from here on out.
I'm not surprised that one, you've written up Butker for good and shot him to the moon, and that that it's 35-0 from here on out.
Right.
I get it.
Yep, that's right. Well, Clay, we appreciate it. Stay safe out there. Enjoy a nooner this next Sunday.
That's going to be kind of weird, right? I think everybody's going to have to be, you know, prepared to figure out how their old routine was for getting out to the stadium in time to have plenty of time to tailgate.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Kling. We love you. We take care, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
See, Josh is now complaining he has to get up early on Sunday.
You think it'll be – random question. You think it'll be hotter Sunday or this past Sunday night?
I think Sunday is only supposed to be at a high of 70.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think this – is the last week of heat. I've been saying that now for a month.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it keeps getting pushed back every week. It's like another week of heat.
That's why 82 degrees when the game started last night.
Right. Oh, it was brutal. It got so hot and muggy last night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.